Blog Talk Radio.
I have dreamed that your arms are lovely, and I have dreamed what a joy you'll be. I have dreamed every word you whisper when you're close, close to me. How you look in the glow of evening. I have dreamed and enjoyed the view. In these dreams I've loved you so that by now I think I know what it's like to be loved by you. I will love being loved by you. In these dreams I have loved you so. It's like to be loved by you. I will love being loved by you.
Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. I'm looking at some of the news headlines. This is Uncle Tom in the bunker. We'll do a little prayer for a gal named Amy Roback. She works for ABC News, and she had a double mastectomy, and they still found other traces of cancer. So I'm looking at a picture of her, and her smile is gone, and I can understand why. But she's a brave gal, and you never can tell. Miracles do happen. I know a guy that was had cancer of the tongue and was supposed to die in about 60 days after he had it, and it disappeared. And he's still around today. So you never know. I was thinking of Tony Snow from Fox. What a great guy. Full of life, full of zest, and full of fight. And God called him. He had cancer, and he didn't beat it. So you don't beat it in this life, but in the next life there is none. And that's how you got to look at it when the curtain is about to descend on whatever act you're following. That's all you can do. You can do your best, and you cannot do any more. So we'll say a little prayer for Amy Roback and wish her a miracle. So having said that, now let's turn our fangs out, everybody. We're going to talk about the communist takeover of the United States. And our topic tonight is, how do you know you're not brainwashed? Everybody in this country is brainwashed, and it happened over time. it just didn't happen yesterday, and it just won't be happening tomorrow. You can go back to the 1930s and see communist brainwashing. In the 30s, it was fashionable to be a communist. There was a Lincoln Brigade that went to fight the fascist, Franco, while the communists killed priests and nuns and burned churches, just like the Muslims do today in Syria. What's changed? Man is evil, and only God protects us. So we watched an episode on the History Channel and on the Nature Channel. I don't know if you saw it, about the exploration ship. It was an actual sailing vessel. In 1914, 28 guys went to set the world's record for crossing the Antarctic. And their ship got caught in a freeze-up, you know, one of those global warming freeze-ups. And the ship eventually was crushed by the ice, big sailing vessel. And there were 28 men on board. They had 2 tons of whale meat. And they stayed with the ship as long as they could. Then they had to abandon it and take the lifeboats with them over the ice floe. They had dogs to pull the sleds, but eventually they had to kill the dogs, which they loved, to eat. In the beginning, they were eating penguins and birds. And but all of a sudden, one day, the penguins all disappeared. So they had to go by foot to open waters with their lifeboats. And if you're watching this thing, and it's 1914, I mean, they didn't even have communication equipment sophisticated enough. No satellites. They didn't have anything. They only had a sextant and a guy with a gut feeling, a sense of direction. And he was the captain of the ship. And the guy that was the commander of the expedition, in my opinion, he was a real jerk. And he nearly got all these guys killed. Miraculously, and it was miraculously, the 28 survived. They got to open water, and then I think they sailed in a 22-foot boat. I think they got to open waters, and then with the lifeboats, they finally got to an island, which was sheer rock, and they left 22 people there, and 6 headed out to go get help in a 22-foot boat. And you got to see the ice, the water from the sea soaking these guys on the boats, and they could only stay above deck for 5 minutes. And it's a miracle that they all survived. Unbelievable. They ended up going to the Falkland Islands, and you see them, like they could see the island that they were trying to land on. One was called Elephant Island. I think that was the one that was all rocks. And then there was another island they were trying to land on, and they could see it. But the waves and the currents kept pushing them away and pushed them like a couple of hundred miles off course. And then they had to start all over again. Finally, they reached land, and the 6 guys landed on the wrong side of an island that had a whaling port on this island, and they had to trek 1,000 miles over mountain ranges to get to the whaling port. And finally they did, and a ship brought them back to rescue the 22, and they didn't know if the 22 were going to be alive. And sure enough, they were all there. So, and you ought to see, these guys were, I mean, they were pioneer stock, man. They were fantastic. And by the grace of God, they survived. So it was a pretty good story. And then there was a story today. I read it on the internet. It was a video, and it was about an English girl who was born in a town in England, and she had been gone for 10 years, and she came back to visit her town, and it was completely Muslim, and the women were all wearing burqas, and when she arrived, there was a demonstration against the British government in England, in an English town. And the Muslims were carrying signs, death to the British government. And they were carrying signs that said the British police are murderers. And this woman had a red dress on, and she was the only one wearing a dress. All the rest of the women were wearing burqas. And an Arab woman said to her in her own country, that she was naked. You ought to be ashamed of yourself for walking around naked. And she said, I'm a British subject and I can do what I want. And the guy came over and said, that's why you're an infidel and you're going to burn in the great fire. And she says, why? Only Muslims will be exempt from the great fire. So that's the mindset that England has been set back. They've been brought back to the 1300s. Very sad, very sad. And then Human Events had an article, Obamacare navigators caught on tape encouraging applicants to commit fraud. And guess who caught him? The guy who exposed ACORN. You know ACORN, the jihad arm of the Obama caliphate. When I first heard of the billion-dollar effort to hire largely unvetted navigators to help confused applicants navigate the maze of Obamacare regulations, a maze packed with glittering taxpayer treasures, I wondered how long it would take James O'Keefe and his Project Veritas, that's the guy that nailed ACORN, undercover cameras teams to promote a video expose. The answer turned out to be not too long. Here's another story for President Obama's increasingly jittery friends in the media to ignore. The media is controlled. The communist media is controlled by the Communist Party. The Communist Party used to be the Democrat Party. And one of the 45 goals of the Communist International is to control one political party or both in the United States. And they have succeeded. Obamacare navigators in Texas caught on tape repeatedly encouraging applicants to commit fraud so they would get more money. The applicants are taught to conceal income so they get higher taxpayer subsidies and lower premiums. Smokers are told to conceal their habits so they get lower premiums. I always lie on mine, one navigator cheerfully says of the paperwork. Yes, the more you give the government, you know, a rule of thumb is those who handle money, eventually get some of it. Yeah, so the more people that hang around the cash register, the more money is going to be missing. And the Japanese have a saying, a man is honest until he gets the chance. None of this should come as any surprise, since the news is filled with stories of billion-dollar fraud in just about every social program, from food stamps and free Obama phone. 2 million duplicate subscriptions last year to the Earned Income Tax Credit. Obamacare is even easier to rip off, especially since the people administering it are so obviously incompetent and the computer systems don't work right. The IRS recently admitted that it sent 343 phony tax refunds to a single address in Shanghai. And as Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Whatever Sebelius admitted in Senate testimony last week, there are no federal background checks for Obamacare navigators. So it is possible Obama's billion-dollar program could give convicted felons access to your personal data. And despite all the cash poured into the program, some of the navigators don't seem very well prepared for their mission of guiding applicants through the most complicated law ever passed. Scrap it, scrap it, scrap it, scrap the crap. Some of them don't even know they are Obamacare navigators. One woman in the Project Veritas video admits she hasn't finished her training yet. 3.5 years apparently wasn't enough time for anything to get done with respect to Obamacare. Isn't that wonderful? Obamacare is already one of the most corrupt government programs ever unleashed on the American people. Some fraudsters grabbing oversized taxpayer subsidies to partisan political operations, feasting on taxpayer money and sensitive data, to Barack Obama's devastating lies about what his program would do to the existing insurance policies. Now, here's something that bothers me. I can't understand why the insurance companies are in cahoots with the government, being that the government intends to wipe out the insurance companies. Or are the insurance companies going to become useful pawns in the communist takeover of America? I don't know. I really don't know. I think that most of the insurance companies are going to get screwed because the communists never leave anybody on top too long. And I don't know if you heard today that the Chinese have just bought a large pig industry, part of the pig industry in the United States. You know what? When it gets real bad, you know what we're going to do? We're going to have to nationalize everything and take the pigs away from the Chinese. And we're going to have to take the oil away from the Arabs. Yeah. We're going to nationalize everything because everything will have been sold to foreign bidders. And in order to get our country back, we're just going to have to seize it. Obamacare is already one of the most corrupt government programs ever unleashed on the American people. The insurance companies should be at war with Obama, but they're not. They're just going to charge the American taxpayer whatever Obama wants. So in a four-tier profit-making organization, you have the patient, the doctor, you have the hospitals, you have the insurance company, and you have the government. Now, something's got to go. If you want to save money, you always have to eliminate the middleman. But it looks like the middleman is coming in for a bigger cut than the rest of the boys that are earning a living. I don't know how doctors put up with it. I know that my doctor sent out a form, how much would I be willing to pay if he decided to go independent and away from Obamacare. And I think we had a family figure of $1,200 a year, and that doesn't count. That's only the doctor. And that's $1,200 a year per person, I believe. But there are alternatives being considered by doctors. I heard one doctor complain that for the first 8 months of the year, he makes no money. It all goes to his expenses. And it goes to the government, who's shortchanging him. How can the government tell a doctor what he can charge? Huh? is government saying, well, you still got medical bills to pay, your school bills to pay. You gave up 8 years, 12 years of your life to get this accreditation, and now you're going to only be allowed to charge $5 a visit? I don't think so. I don't think so. There's one thing America is creative, and you can paint us into a corner, but we always find a window and a door. So this is not going to work out. I say scrap the entire plan. Do not live with parts of it. Nobody knew what was in it. And today, only two people know what's in that health care plan. One is a woman from New York City who used to work for New York State and the governor. And her name is, I think, Betsy McAuliffe or Betsy McCall. And she has read the entire health care plan. And the other one is a congressman who also read the entire health care plan. But they're the only two that I know of that know what the hell is in there. And I'm broadcasting. And what can I say? Obamacare is already one of the most corrupt government programs ever unleashed on the American people. From fraudsters grabbing oversized taxpayer subsidies to partisan political operations feasting on taxpayer money and sensitive data. If it's not obvious to you by now, it is to me, and I'll tell you. There is too much money in Washington. There are too many leeches and pilot fish that are feeding off the taxpayer. And we got to put an end to it. We got to downsize this government by 80%. An 80% reduction in government. We don't need the EPA putting one more American out of business. We don't need OSHA fining manufacturers, forcing them to raise their prices to cover the fines. Everything that this government does to business is paid for by you and me until that business goes out of business. When a guy steals a jacket in Macy's, the price of all jackets go up the next day. We are subsidizing crime. We are subsidizing rehab. We are subsidizing abortion clinics. What are the three greatest industries today in this country? What are they? Porn, gambling, and abortions? You think about it. You lost your country. You're never getting it back. We're the only generation that voted ourselves out of a country. Obamacare is already one of the most corrupt government programs. You know, John Kerry made a bundle on all of this Obamacare. He was sitting on a committee that was making up all the rules. And according to the insider tradering laws of the Senate and the Congress, they're allowed to trade on tips. And if anybody in Wall Street did it, they'd be in jail with Bernie Madoff. But John Kerry made a bundle on pharmaceuticals. Yeah, check it out. Google it. Find out who's screwing you. And now he's negotiating with Iran. Any politician who negotiates with a foreign country, there's money in it for him. Just look at President Clinton. President Clinton introduced the president of Kazakhstan to a Canadian businessman, and the two did a deal for uranium. Now, Canada has its own uranium. They don't need uranium. So where did the uranium that was purchased by the Canadian businessman go to? Was it shipped directly from Kazakhstan to Iran? And President Clinton got a bonus, a commission of $100 million. Is that blood money? Is someday a city going to be immolated because President Clinton put together a Canadian businessman and the president of Kazakhstan? Is that like letting bin Laden slide so that until I can be out of office and then you can take down the World Trade Center? Breaking for a tune. When I come back, we'll talk some more. Or what I should say is you'll listen some more. Not to worry. You got nothing to do tonight, right? It's cold outside. All right? You're losing your country. I mean, cheer up. I talked to a guy that was going through a divorce. He was heartbroken, and he was broke. And I said to him, he couldn't get a smile out of him. He was so far down, he couldn't go any lower. And I said to him, cheer up and do like I do. Cheer up. Things could be worse. And sure enough, I cheered up, and sure enough, things got worse. So what do you want to do? You want to come back, my love?
Come back, my love.
Do, do, do.
Don't go away.
Do, do, do.
Come back, my love.
Do, do, do.
Come back to stay.
Do, do, do.
I love you so well. I want you to know I need your love so badly. What?
Do, do, do.
Do the wang.
Do the do
do the wop,
do the wang, do the wop.
This guy, Martin Bashir, who works for nothing but communists, NBC, he made a comment about Sarah Palin that had something to do with urinating and defecating in her mouth. And he was not censured. He was made to apologize. Now, if somebody had said that about Chelsea Clinton, they would be not only off the air, but they'd be out of the country in 10 minutes. But worse than Martin Bashir and other rats like Bill Maher, Bill PLO Dancer Maher, the guy that gave out candy on 911, the guy who hates everything that walks, talks, and lives, is the worst of them all. And that is the CBS rat, David Letterman. David Letterman said on his show that Sarah Palin's youngest daughter should be raped by A-Rod during a seventh-inning stretch at a baseball game.
Did he mean that everybody in the stadium could watch? Is that what he was wishing for? He should have been taken off the air in 10 seconds and exiled from the country. But you see, you can do anything on nothing but communists or CBS, the communist bashing system. And I just wanted to remind you that we're dealing in a crappy world with crappy people who get paid big money to hurt people. Those are bullies. Those are communist comedy bullies. NBC, Obama, a third term campaign. Yes, NBC is endorsing Obama for a third term. Oh, they haven't announced it yet. It's my prediction number 1,782. Yeah. On Thursday, Fox News, Ed Henry tweeted that MSNBC hosts Ed Schultz and Lawrence O'Donnell, as well as Ezra Klein of The Washington Post. The Washington Post had on its payroll the number two FBI top man in the FBI, who turned out to be Deep Throat. Yeah. Yeah. You think that Snowden is not a KGB agent? I'm surprised Snowden didn't work for the Washington Post. But anyway, this is a little food for thought. We'll throw a few questions out there, and you can rattle them around in your empty head. Yeah, both IMIS, in order to betray your country. Oh, that was the headline story from Breitbart. All those guys, plus Juan Williams, had been invited for a private, off-the-record chat with President Obama. Why? When they say off-the-record, does that mean they can say the N-word? And the MF word? Huh? Yeah. Off-the-record. There's no such thing as off-the-record. Headline story from Breitbart. My spell check didn't catch the spelling on Breitbart, and it sounds like Breitbart. What happens is the soap. What follows is the soap observation. Soap, by the way, is an acronym for the Spirit of America Party. Good things come with soap. In order to portray your country, you first have to be on NBC. And if you're a comedian, you can go on Communist or Central. You also have to be thrown off NBC like IMIS, or you could be thrown off PBS like Juan Williams. PBS stands for the Perverted Bestiality System. Both IMIS and Juan could be double agents. They may be reporting to Al Sharpton. One thing is for sure, they were betrayed by the Communist Party network, NBC, nothing but communists. I'm sure Juan ran to NBC first before Fox took him in. Juan received a phone call, and the voice said, "Juan, why don't you play a game of solitaire?" And Juan laid out the cards and stopped at the Queen of Demons. Then the phone rang again, and Juan heard a voice on the other end similar to the Bee of Benghazi. The voice said, "Your healthcare cell is being activated. The commissar wants to see you." Ed Schultz received a similar phone call while he was praying in the chapel to a statue of Blessed Laura Ingraham, the patron saint of possessed demo camos. Crazy Larry O'Donnell, you know what the three biggest lies in the world are? The check is in the mail. There's nothing wrong with Larry O'Donnell, and I'm proud I'm a communist. Crazy Larry O'Donnell got no such phone call. He is directly linked to the voices in his pumpkin. Juan was sequestered in another White House room, no furniture, just a stool, a broken bust of Winston Churchill, and an engraved ashtray from Hillary to Bill and Barbara Streisand. There was a team of Mocha Panthers, and they waterboarded Juan, asking questions like, "What's the frequency, Dan?" Juan refused to be broken, giving only his rank and Twitter address. And then a very large woman or man, dressed in a burqa and carrying an airplane seat, sat next to Juan. He completely flipped. He gave troop movements, submarine locations, the number of missiles President Obama gave to Russia, and he also threw in Roger Ailes' favorite top five songs. Then they put him to sleep and embedded a mini camera in the top hat of his Jerry Mouse tattoo at the Beltline. Juan was then dropped off at a boathouse in Central Park, where he was awoken by a kiss from a prince, and a frog was sacrificed during his Santeria wedding. Yeah, oh man. And then I have a picture of a magazine. You know what magazine it is? It's Newsweek. And you know what's on the cover? Japanese writing. It's the December issue of Newsweek. And what do you think is on the cover? A garbage pail with an American flag in it. A December issue in Japanese Newsweek, with a garbage pail in an alleyway and an American flag in the garbage pail. In a Japanese issue of Newsweek in December. The other three communist operatives are still at the White House, performed the flag-burning ceremony over a Newsweek garbage pail during the playing of the International, as the coven stomped their cloven hoofs, chanting Chris Matthews' racial slurs about white people. Dave Gregory's porcupine quills stood straight up, and holy pictures of Sarah Palin and Joe McCarthy were burned to the shouts of Obama Wakba. Piers Morgan was knighted and given the state of New Jersey to rule after a Braveheart Christie is drawn and watered. This saga to be continued. Be sure to turn in and to next week's episode of Help Scare Empire. You will hear President Obama say, you know, you touch the screen and the thing jumps out of my control. You will hear President Obama say, if I had a son, he would look just like Chuck Schumer or Anthony Weiner or John the Monkey Stewart. The good news is, with Obama healthcare, you'll be allowed to keep your pallbearers. So, and then we plug one of our shows on Blog Talk Radio entitled Communist Coup d'Etat. And then we have the Spirit of America Party tip of the day. And today's tip is, a moment of silence is a moment of submission to the state. A moment of prayer is a moment of freedom that breaks the communist spell. And then we have the seal of the other president of the United States, and it's on a challenge coin. And on the top of the challenge coin, in a circle, it says 911, we forget nothing. N-U-T-T-I-N. And then there's an impression of the World Trade Center on fire and a second plane coming in for the second hit. And underneath it says in a circle, whatever the war, wherever the war, $, support our troops, and $. Give them a raise. The first thing I'm going to do when I'm president is I'm bumping up the military salary. And then I plug my book, The Spirit of America Party book, and the cover is an eagle with a flag, and it says, take me to the beach. And that coin is the great seal of the other president of the United States. Then I recommend that you go to YouTube and click on Flag Burners of Record. Or YouTube, I Pledge to Thee, Boycott NBC. Or YouTube, Save the Kids. Save the Kids is a tough one. I know tough men who will not watch or look at any picture of an aborted child. They refuse to do it. They can't do it because it blows their mind, and they have to say, we do this in this country. YouTube, SEAL Team 6 Sacrificed. I have a photo of everyone that was on that chopper that was taken down. YouTube, a copy of Benghazi 911 call. And the music to that copy of 911 call is the Billy Joel tune, Honesty. And then I plug another show on Blog Talk Radio, and the title of that show is Christ Mass is About the Kids. Happy Holy Days. Having said that, you want to hear the Coconut Palm Choir?
Welcome, all you Americans out there, especially those great American boys and girls from Coconut Palm Elementary School and their principal, Terry Thelmas. God bless you, and God bless America. And that's what they were trying to do. They were trying to sing God Bless America at the Chinese Communist Walmart, and they were ushered off the property, the store. They were chased out of the store out into the parking lot, and they continued to sing in the parking lot, God Bless America, in honor of the four Americans that were slaughtered in Libya by Muslims, those bad Muslims, bad, bad Muslims. So the store manager, who had given permission, was not there, and another store manager called the cops. Now, I got to tell you, Pembroke Pines, a police department, look ashamed. The first thing you should have done when you got out of your car and spilled your coffee and dropped your donut, you should have sang with them. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves that you wouldn't enforce an Obama law that subdues freedom. Look ashamed, Pembroke Pines Police Department. The next time you're called to break up kids singing God Bless America, stand tall. Stand up for your country like the little kids do. And as for Walmart, China is just building a brand new aircraft carrier, and they say they're going to pay for it in one day's receipts from Walmart. Thank you, Walmart, and may God have mercy on your Chinese soul.
Okay, I thought that was a tune. There is a Calypso group that sings Christmas tunes very nice. I got it buried somewhere. If I can find it, I will. Okay, let me see what we can do. I'll give you Devil or Angel, and then we'll go to some blogs for today.
I'd like to wake up and find, devil or angel, there whichever you are, I miss you, I miss you. I'll go out of my mind. Devil or angel, there whichever you are, I need you, I need you, I need you. You look like an angel, your smile is divine, but you keep me guessing, will you ever be mine? Devil or angel, please say you'll be mine. Love me or leave me, I made up my mind. Devil or angel, there whichever you are, I love you, I love you. Devil devil or angel, there whichever you are, I love you, I love you, I love you.
There's a guy named Walid Ashubat. He is a was once a Muslim, a jihadist. And he converted to Christianity. And now he's like a watchdog reporting on the evils of Islam. And he's got a letter, and I just got a hold of his letter. And one of the articles is, "The Republic of Angola bans Islam as a dangerous cult and destroys mosques. The president of the majority Catholic nation of Angola, José Eduardo dos Santos, made this emphatic statement as quoted by Asun Defender." Interesting. The first nation to throw out jihadists. Let me see what it says. "This is the final end of Islamic influence in our country. Rosa Cruz y Silva, the Angola Minister of Culture, had this to say. The process of legalization of Islam has not been approved by the Ministry of Justice and Human Rights. Their mosques would be closed until further notice." And they have a picture of the destruction of a minaret mosque in Zengo, Angola. "A mosque in the province of Yumambo was closed down recently, and one Muslim leader of the Islamic community of Angola said, 'Our brothers have just informed me that his place of prayer in Huambo was also closed this morning, and as occurred in other provinces in recent months. Unfortunately, this has been the common practice of the competent authorities. They do not notify the leaders of the mosque or send the police. This comes to the site and ordering the closure and says nothing more. According to the Muslim leader, Angolan authorities have already closed mosques in Lunda Norte and Lunda Sul, Moxico, Bie, Cuando, Cubango, Huila, Sunani, Nanimbe, and Zaire. This is truly the first of fulfillment of what I myself have been desiring. If you keep track of my writings, you will know that I am a deep critic of the Enlightenment concept of religious liberty and equality, and have shown how heresy leads to tyranny. Islamic terrorism and violence is ultimately a result of religious liberty, for it is the suffrage and freedom given to evil people that permits them to thrive and grow strong, to overcome the saints, to steal and to kill and to destroy. John 10:10. The one who is amongst the wicked, who wishes nothing but destruction, heresy, and false doctrine, it is up to us to receive him not into your house. 3 John 1:10. That is, let not the deceivers corrupt our land. We can be only for God or the forces of darkness. And for those who wish to learn more about the deceptions of Satan and how tyranny takes over a country, get and read the book For God or for Tyranny. I am sure Glenn Beck would be most disturbed by what Angola is doing, since he is such a proponent of complete religious tolerance. But after reading on what horrors and barbarities the African Christians have suffered under Islam, I laugh at his concept and scheming desires." This must be people that are writing in. "Christianity in its purest form unequivocally believes in the intolerance of false religion and in the role of the state in purging a nation of wicked ideas and ideologies. Many would decry such an assertion, but I read of the works of King Josiah and scold such empty opinions. I read of how the great leader put down the idolatrous priests who burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and the places round about Jerusalem, them also that burned incense unto Baal and to the sun and to the moon and to the planets and to all the host of heaven. 2 Kings 23:5. That's got to be the Old Testament. And how the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards and images and idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem did Josiah put away. I read of how our Lord, when he gloriously returns, will have not 1 ounce of tolerance for false religion. I perused the words of the holy Isaiah, where he declares that Christ shall destroy all idolatry. Okay, so there is a backlash coming for the Muslim murders of Christians. One country is now outlawed Islam. Oh, that won't happen here because we're tolerant. We will sing Gumbaya right into the furnace. Yeah, we're in trouble, man. We're in big trouble. Let me see what else we got here. You want another tune? You've been good. You wanna read a tune about tolerance? Here's a tune about tolerance.
No one likes us. I don't know why. We may not be perfect, but heaven knows we tried. But all around, even our old friends put us down. Let's drop the big one and see what happens. We give them money, but are they grateful? No, they're spiteful and they're hateful. They don't respect us, so let's surprise them. We'll drop the big one and pulverize. Crowded, Europe's too old, Africa's far too hot, and Canada's too cold. South America stole our name. Let's drop the big one, there'll be no one left to blame us. We'll save Australia. Don't wanna hurt no kangaroo. We're building all American park there. They got surfing too. Boom goes London, boom Paris. More room for you and more room for me. In every city, the whole world round, we'll just be another American town. Oh, how peaceful it will be. We'll set everybody free. You wear a Japanese motor, baby, be a pair of shoes for me. They all hate us anyhow. So let's drop the big one now. Let's drop the big one now.
You like that? Was that a song about tolerance? Unbelievable. Let's see what this guy says. Those leaders and individuals who flaunt perversion in public should be challenged in public, just like Big Bear John the Baptist did. And then they have a video. So then they have some bloggers with comments. Okay, and here's what the blogger number one says. There is a sleeping giant within the silent community, be we of any color, ethnicity, or belief, to include some of the Muslim faith. However, the end result of the present calm or unrest may logically result in a civil war, or the diligence of knowledgeable and accountable voters to make a significant electoral changes in the 2014 ballot box will reduce, restrain, and in some instances erase the disastrous Marxist, the Democrat stranglehold on fair and balanced legislation are being hijacked by Obama, and mute his effect of the monarchy he is forcing upon Americans' freedoms. Halt Obama's corruption of the morals, values, and ethics woven into the fabric of the foundation and cornerstone of our Constitution, and yet Barry, built by the founders of the great nation. Obama's sarcasm falls out of my mouth like disrespect to our Creator falls up from yours. Lord, give me patience, because if you give me strength, I'm going to need bail money to go with it. Yeah, that's a guy who's a retired vet from Inverness, Florida. Another guy says, there is truth to what he is saying. Politicians believe they're immune to the voter unrest because they are safe at work and nobody knows where they live. Well, what if someone published the D.C. residence of all congressmen? What if their home address was published? Of course, they may be off on a junket. Yeah, okay, that's one guy. I love it. But I think the wolf is in the church eating the flock and the dragon is in the White House, a.k.a. Islam's Mahdi. And another guy says, the Mahdi is yet to come. Obama is a precursor. But Wild Bill is awesome. Wild Bill is awesome and correct. Wake up, America, because it's almost too late. Barry Serretto, they're referring to his sexuality. And I will pass on that one. The big sleeping giant will be at the next election. We the people will be with him. In the case of King Herod, the reaping of what he's sown was never truer. He may have won the earthly battle, but no doubt lost when he stood before God. So have your fun here on earth, but remember, this is just for a time. After this life is over, the next is for an eternity. Give it some thought, O leaders, for you are a mere human, just like the rest of us. Even this forum is run by the communists and won't print any of the statement unless they like it to favor Obama. Yes, out of all the fired military people, because only the best were fired, let them choose people from the general population to assist them in what they do. So there is a dissent in the country, and the media only shows you a propaganda. They play the splinter game, splinter the country, balkanize it. Unbelievable. I am so... King Herod was the first abortionist. You know that, right? He killed all children under 2 years old. Unless O'Reilly has rewritten that part of the Bible, too. Yeah, O'Reilly, the expert on the Bible. That's what happens when you go to Harvard. You become an expert on everything. O'Reilly the general, O'Reilly the pope. Bill O'Reilly's a good guy, but he plays his cards close to the vest. He's not going to stick his neck out and be jihadied. Yeah, he has done some good things, though. He went after all the perverts, the man-boy love sickos that now run the House and the Senate. Yeah, we're in trouble, folks. We're in trouble. Like I say, we're the only country that will be known in history who voted itself into oblivion. PETA is full of shita. Anti-hunters go apologetic. You want to hear what that one is? As I have a hamburger? Yeah. I like the one with the people that like to hug trees. The woman was sitting up in a tree so nobody would cut it down. She was up there for a couple of months. Then she came down. She married a guy named Woody. Yeah, man, what a bunch of sickos. You know what it is? People don't have anything to do. You ever watch the judge and jury shows? Where do those people get the time off? Oh, it was my spring break. Yeah. And I got to tell you, they got a judge now. She's a knockout. She's a blonde knockout. You can't be an ugly judge anymore. Everything is looks in the media. I have a skit that I would like to do on Fox, where I sit down with many of the hosts and say, look, I've been appointed by Roger Ailes to, based on the complaints that we've been receiving, that all we have on this show are beautiful women. And there's a movement starting to force us to start to hire ugly women to be fair and impartial. So I hired my first ugly woman today. And she's going to come out and introduce herself, and she's going to have her show. Now, do me a favor. Do not laugh. Do not laugh. Do not show shock on your faces. When this woman comes out, give her the respect of being a woman. Show love. Show Christian charity. Why, is that the only kind of charity? Yes. So, listen. Let me know when she's out, because I can't bear to look. I can't bear to look. And out comes this most beautiful, ravishing woman. And I take my hand away from my eyes, but I don't look at her. I say, are we okay? Is everything okay? Huh? The audience reaction is not too scared. Are they scared? No. Okay. Then I turn around and I see this beautiful woman, and I say, oh, hello, how are you? Sit down. And I say, don't say anything. You know, and keep treating her like she's ugly. And that's how you kill that tune. PETA is full of Sheeta. Anti-hunters go apoplectic over Melissa Bachman's lion hunt. She killed the lion. If some animals are good at hunting and others are suitable for hunting, then the gods must clearly smile on hunting. Aristotle. Last week, the animal rights activists went into full doofus mode when... Oh, and did you guess where she hunted? Angola, that just threw all the Muslims out. Yeah. Oh, they're killing lions. Oh, and PETA will be after them. That's sacrilege. I can't see killing a lion. I like to stalk chipmunks, because in the event that they go violent, they can't hurt me. Let me give you a tune, maybe a little nibble here and there. Want to hear a dog joke?
Hi, boys and girls. Got a dog joke for you. This guy is driving through a farming area. And he comes across a house, and there's a dog for sale sign on the porch. And it says, dog for sale, $10. So he goes, oh, I got it wrong. He sees a sign on the porch. The porch says, a talking dog for sale, $10. So he goes up to the farmer and he says, I see you got a talking dog for sale. He goes, yeah, he's around back. You want to go talk to him? Go ahead. So he goes around back and there's this dog. And he says to the dog, how you doing? The dog says, I'm all right. How you doing? He says, you really are a talking dog. He says, yeah. He says, how did you learn to talk? He says, well, I used to be in the CIA. First, they trained me for drug sniffing and the IED sniffing detection. And then I went and I took an advanced course, and they used me. I used to be a spy in the CIA. If you check, you'll see that in a lot of pictures where diplomats come to the United States or the American ambassador visits a head of state, you'll see me in the picture. And I was eavesdropping. And then I would be debriefed when I came back off the mission. And I would tell the CYA what was going on in the room at the time the conversations were taking place. He says, "My God, that's fantastic." He says, "How come you don't work for the CIA anymore?" He says, "Well, I settled down and I raised a litter of puppies and I'm retired." So the guy runs around to the farmer and he goes, "I can't believe it. This dog talks. How can you be selling this dog so cheap?" And the farmer says, "He's a liar. He never did any of that stuff." Okay.
Okay.
Good? Bad?
Yeah.
What do you think?
All right. Here's the headline. How the Iran and nuclear deal happened. It's a deal. We made a deal with the Iranians. We're going to give them their money that we've had frozen in the banks so that they can go and buy bigger and better weapons to deliver nukes. Yeah. Listen, anything that John Kerry negotiates never is in the interest of the United States, even when he buys a yacht. When he buys a yacht, he has it built in New Zealand because the people that put him in office don't deserve any of his spending money. And then when the yacht is delivered, he has it sent to Providence, Rhode Island, because he doesn't want to pay Massachusetts taxes because they're too high. The guy that votes for more taxes. What is it with me? Am I taking in too much air? The United States and Iran secretly engaged in a series of high-level face-to-face talks over the past year. In a high-stakes diplomatic gamble by the Obama administration that paved the way for a historic deal sealed early Sunday in Geneva. "Hey, John, did you ever get back the Jewish guy who was retired from the FBI, who was in Kish Island and they kidnapped him? Did you ever ask about how's he doing? Is he losing any weight? Did you show his picture, John, and ask him if they recognize him? And could you have him back?" No, right, John? You didn't think of that, did you? You forgot. The discussions were kept hidden even from America's closest friends. You want to know something? We got no allies. There's no coalition of the willing. We are the most hated country in the world. We're hated for three reasons. One, we can't be trusted. Two, we never tell the truth. And three, you don't pay enough. Yeah. If we didn't have money in hand, we would have no allies. I have never seen, we used to joke about a girl that we who wanted acceptance, and we used to say, "You got to pay everybody $10 to be your friend." Yeah, unbelievable. This is what the United States has become. We just gave Pakistan, who hid Osama for 10 years. They hid Osama bin Laden for 10 years. And we just gave them $1.8 billion. And we can't even get the doctor who got Osama bin Laden. I'm always tempted to say Obama bin Laden. We can't even get that doctor released. Now, who Benghazi'd that doctor? The same people that Benghazi'd the four guys that were left to die. They were left to die deliberately. Somebody gave the order to, it's better that they are silenced and never allowed to return to the United States to tell this story. Leave them there. Somebody made that decision. And if you make that accusation, you know what the deflecting answer is? "Well, we'll turn this over to the FBI. The FBI was in Benghazi for 2 weeks. They drove around the building. They drove around the building. A CNN reporter got more paperwork than the FBI got. The FBI is the natural excuse for the cover-up party of death, the communist Democrats. So, let's see, the discussion was kept hidden even from America's closest friends. You know, only one country voted with us in the last UN resolution. Only one country out of 179. You know which country it was?
the country that we betraying, Israel, our only ally, and we betrayed it. And you know who betrays Israel more than anybody else? A lot of liberals who pretend that they're for Israel. But they wouldn't shed one drop of blood for her. They just pay lip service. And liberal is, to me, is just another kind word for communist. The discussions were kept hidden until 2 months ago. And that may explain how the nuclear accord appeared to come together so quickly after years of stalemate and fierce hostility between Iran and the West. The Sunni Muslims hate the Shia Muslims. They consider them infidels. And therefore, when Obama nuzzles up to the mullahs in Iran, he is offending the Saudis, who probably paid for his education. But the secrecy of the talks may also explain some of the tensions between the USA and France, which earlier this year balked at a proposed deal and with Israel, which is furious about the agreement and has angrily denounced the diplomatic outreach to Tehran. You got to be careful what you hear in the media, especially the communist-controlled media, and that's all of it. Anybody that tells you that the New York Times is credible is directly who won't even use it for the bottom of the cage. The New York Times endorsed Joseph Stalin. The New York Times endorsed Mao Zedong. The New York Times is anti-American and has always been anti-American. And the Washington Post is the same. What can you trust? You want to know what you can trust? And this is going to come to an end today too, one day too, because all of the libs are taking over the communication industry on the internet. And eventually, you're going to have to, the only word of mouth will be the only thing that keeps you free. Everybody else is being squeezed out. Only Fox tells the truth, and you see them, you see the propaganda, communist lies about Fox. And let's face it, Fox is the only one that they got to protect their interests too. I'm sure there's things that they would like to publish that they're afraid to because it might put the nail in their coffin. You see how they tried to get Rupert Murdoch in England. You think that's a coincidence? You think Martin Bashir saying urine and feces should end up in the mouth of Sarah Palin is just a general comment by a credible news person? And then you're going to let them apologize in a, you know, the lips can say anything, but the heart doesn't lie. It's what's in Bashir's heart. Bashir is an evil man. Let's do a little checking on Martin Bashir. Let's do a little background check. Let's vet him. Let's see what comes up. See if there's any sex acts with camels. Yeah, unbelievable, man. Sick nation gets sicker. That should be the headline for today. President Obama personally authorized the talks as part of his effort to destroy the entire Middle East relationship with the USA. He has lost. They talk about, the communists talk about Bush never had to go to Iraq. The communists don't know the night of 9-1-1. They don't care about 9-1-1. What does it matter if 3,000 people died? As long as we accomplished the mission to rule the United States of America. That's the goal. And to get that tax money so we can build a new world order. Isn't that right, Mr. Soros? Isn't that what you told us? We're in trouble. We're in trouble. So they talk about Bush going to Iraq. First, they said his father should have went to Iraq, and he was a coward. He didn't. And then they said that Little Bush went too far. These are the porridge people. My porridge is too hot. These are the people that get you into war and leave you to die on the battlefield, be it Vietnam or Benghazi. They will leave you to die. And you know what the new battlefield is today? The abortion clinic. You know what else is a battlefield? The drug scourge. And every day, another American becomes a junkie. That's chemical warfare. And you don't recognize it because you're stoned. Oh, it's just a little recreational marijuana. What's the hole in your arm? Oh, the hypodermic. You know, I'm not into marijuana that much anymore. I was into crack for a while, but it got expensive, and the heroin is cheaper. Yeah. I could take you to cemeteries and you show you the ages of the tombstones, and all of the young ones are there. Most of them are there for drugs. You want to see what, like, the drug problem really looks like in the United States? Go to an emergency room on a Friday night. Go late. Go almost 1 o'clock in the morning. See what they're wheeling in. Oh, what does this say? Oman's Sultan Qaboos was a key player facilitating the eventual release of the hikers, the last two of whom returned to the United States in 2011, and then offering himself as a media for a U.S.-Iran rapprochement. The secret informal discussions between mid-level officials in Washington and Tehran began. Those jerks that were up on the Iranian border, those are yuppies with money. They got plenty of money, and daddy and mommy sent them all over the place. And so they decided they were going to go up on the Iranian border and tease the guards. Yeah. Sultan Qaboos. He's from Oman. He's a good-looking guy, if you're into guys. Oman is, they have a nice port, Oman, and so does the port of Fujairah. It's a great place, and when the Iranians throw us out of Bahrain, we might be able to cut a deal with Oman and the Sultanate of Fujairah. One of the seven crucial states that merged into the United Arab Emirates. Yeah, as a matter of fact, Iran keeps its tankers loaded with oil up in Fujairah. Yeah, very interesting place. Very interesting. The Geneva deal provides Iran with about $7 billion in relief from international sanctions in exchange for Iranian curbs on uranium enrichment. And they should change the name of Iran to uranium and the uranium people and the other nuclear activity. All parties pledged to work towards a final accord. This is all you, when you deal with the communists lose, they win. When they win, they win. And it's the same with the Arabs. We do not have anybody that can negotiate a car purchase. We have no negotiators, and we have no intelligence. We have no idea what's going on. Our intelligence sucks. 20 guys came into the United States to kill 100,000 people, and we knew nothing about it. We knew nothing about it. We are more wide open today than ever before. Our intelligence sucks. And what are they doing? The little intelligence we have, they want to shut it down. Oh, Snowden, he was for the people. Oh, KGB agent Snowden, he was for America. He went to China and gave them a list. He went to Russia and gave them a list. And now we're all going to be freer because we've exposed the NSA who was listening on my phone calls and my dope deals. Yeah. Well, my abortion clinic bookings, 4,700 Americans are murdered every day in abortion chop shops. 4,700 Americans. And these aren't the people that are just on the pill. These are the people that are going to the clinics. Yeah. Well, it's a woman's right to choose. You know who else has a right to choose? Your executioner, when they tie the bandana around your eyes and deny you a cigarette because it's bad for your health. Yeah, we're in trouble. There are people that are being duped into killing their own children. Can you believe that? Well, when I see guys that are police-hardened tell me they don't want to see no abortion pictures, that tells me that we are in denial, just like the people of Auschwitz. Auschwitz town were in denial. And you know what happened to them? Eisenhower and Patton made them go bury the dead. Maybe that's what we got to do. Maybe we got to clean out the buckets in the chop shops. Out of 4,700 American babies that are going to be killed tomorrow, you mean we couldn't save one? Couldn't we ransom one? You know, when I went to Catholic school, we used to bring nickels to ransom Chinese babies. We could buy Chinese babies that were about to be slaughtered. One nickel could save a Chinese baby. How about we put our nickels together and save American babies? Planned Parenthood kills 1,200 white babies a day. Planned Parenthood kills 1,100 black babies a day. Okay? 13% of the population, does that ratio say anything? It is really sad. My time is up. Tonight's lecture is over. And all I can tell you is today they had a picture, I think it was one of the pro-life groups. They had twin babies, just born. And the nurse was putting them in like a little tub of water. And she was washing them, but just letting them to feel the water. And she protected their eyes and their nose and their mouth so they didn't take in any water. And it was the two, I guess they were boys, I don't know. It could have been a boy and a girl. And they were wrapped in each other's arms, just like they were in the womb. It was so beautiful. If you've seen it, it would move you. And it's really sad to know that there, somewhere in an abortion clinic, a supposed doctor who took an oath to do no harm is reaching into the womb with a forceps to pull a leg off, to pull a head off, to do a DNC, which stands for the Democrat National Committee on Dilatation and Curettage, and to extract those twins. Suppose the mother said, look, I got two boys already, I'll keep the girl. Is that fair? Is that the right thing to do? And what did the Jewish people say? If you save one, you save the world. Think about it. Maybe we should start buying the babies before they get extracted and destroyed or burned chemically. Have you ever seen a baby's body that's been burned out of the womb chemically? The skin is all black. It is horrible. And you've got senators who voted no anesthesia for babies being aborted, because if they had to admit that the baby felt pain, they would have to admit that the baby is human. 30 years ago, the communists were telling us that when the sperm hits the egg and the fetus begins to live, that it's really not a human being. It's only tissue. You don't think we're going to pay for this? You don't think that God is going to hold us to account? You look the other way. Are we going to be dragged out of our bed some night and made to go to an abortion clinic and see the horror? You never can tell. You never can tell. Never can happen. Happens all the time. Have a nice night. God bless and pray for the kids. Oh, YouTube. Save the kids if you want to see what it looks like.